I wish somebody had given me this practical primer on how to receive a compliment. Let me tell you how to receive a compliment. Somebody comes up to you and they say, you know, that I want to give you this compliment. And here's what you do. You look them in the eye and you say, thank you. I receive that. I will be encouraged by that. And that strengthens me and encourages me on in the journey. Thank you very much.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. I'm Daniel Britt, and we're all set to hear Alan's message from Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in a series called More Blessed. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource available to you right now for your gift to Sharing the Light this month. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org or by phone at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Are you ready for some good news?
Yes.
It is more blessed to praise than it is to be praised. And the reason that is such good news is you can't control how much you're going to be praised, but you sure can choose to praise God. I've got one verse for you today. It's in Philippians chapter 4 as part of our series we're calling More Blessed, because we're looking at all the different facets of what it means when Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And today, I'm just going to focus in on this one verse, Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Joy Prom was Friday night. If you're not familiar with Joy Prom, it is a full-scale prom for special needs individuals. Anybody with physical, intellectual, or developmental different abilities, you could put it that way, are invited. And this year's Joy Prom, I think, had over 300 such guests, I believe, around that number. This Joy Prom in Winston-Salem was started up by a small group here and a couple here who suggested it, and it has grown so quickly in recent years. It is just a spectacular thing. You can only imagine this, if you have never seen it before. All these people that come and they are treated to a glorious night of a real prom. And there is a glitz and glamour room. The girls can get dolled up and get jewelry to wear. And there are even tiaras in there. I was thinking about putting one on myself this way. It's a tiara. Gentlemen can get their shoes shined. The dining room, everything's just beautifully decorated according to the theme of Beauty and the Beast. And it was just wonderful. There's crafts to be done. And good food and dancing, and every one of the guests is given a host or a hostess that will accompany that guest throughout the evening. It's just great. I wish I could say that I do something to help with it. I haven't. But I just like to clap and cheer, though. I'm a good clapper and cheerer. And so I pull out my dust off my tuxedo out of the closet. That thing, I don't know, how does it just shrink by just hanging in the closet and it's shrinking? It's I don't understand that. I put on the too small of a tuxedo, and what I want to find my way to try to do is get there and get up close to the red carpet entrance. Because what will happen is the MC will take the microphone and each guest gets a very special introduction, and then the people all around start clapping and cheering while they are escorted down that red carpet with cheers, and it's a glorious moment. And I just like to just stand there in my tuxedo and just clap and cheer and rejoice in their moment of glory. It causes you so much joy to rejoice in someone else's glory. That's what I want to talk to you about today. It's more blessed to praise than it is to be praised. It's part of what Jesus means by saying it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. What's interesting about Paul's words in Philippians 4:4 is that you got to remember he was in jail when he wrote this epistle. He really didn't know what was going to happen. In fact, he was honest about this in another section of the epistle. He said to the Philippian church, he said, I would like to send Timothy to you. That was his spiritual son. He said, but I just can't right now. He said, I need him too much. He said, I can't send him until I find out what's going to happen to me. He didn't know whether he was going to, maybe he'd be set free because he was a Roman citizen, or maybe he's going to be executed. He really didn't know. I mean, Paul had said things. He said, basically saying, I don't know if I'm going to live or I'm going to die. He was in prison. And the word joy is mentioned 16 times in that little epistle that he wrote in Philippians. He was incarcerated when he said, rejoice in the Lord always and again. He didn't say, I will rejoice and you can rejoice with me upon my release, or if my sentence is reduced, or if I find favor in trial. He's talking about something much deeper than that, that there's an opportunity for rejoicing no matter what circumstances that you're in. So I just want to talk to you plainly about this one principle that is more blessed to praise than it is to be praised. And I want to talk to you first about what it doesn't mean. And then I want to just show you from the natural things of this world, the way we're designed, so that maybe it makes sense to you why it is that we'll never really be fully blessed and fulfilled until we discover this life of praise. I want to show you how the scriptures are just spilling over with the exhortation and what it means to rejoice in the Lord. What is our cause for rejoicing? That's very simply one of it. Just this one verse, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Well, let's first just talk about what this doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you receiving praise or affirmation. It's something we need from the time that we are born. Before we're born, we need blessing and affirmation and praise. I want to be very, very clear about that. In fact, we need to learn to receive it. We need to be able to take it in, real encouragement in our body. You know, we always teach all our parents, bless your kids, bless them before they're born, bless them when they're born, bless them every day of their lives. Affirming an identity to them because it's shaping who that child is. We don't want them to have a vacuum in which they are feeling that there's something that's not worthwhile about their lives. We want them to have an identity, and so we bless them. It was so cute. Our little nephew Wesley, who is now he can stand and walk, and he's got a few words he can say, and he's at that just real cute, you know, stage where he just everything is becoming alive to him. Well, on Easter afternoon, we had a big party at our house. And my wife goes crazy over Easter. You think it's Christmas Day. Every cousin, all the nieces, nephew, everybody's got a big, huge basket, and it's full of toys and everything. Well, Wesley had in his big basket, part of one of he had was a toy cell phone. You see, you got to get toddlers toy cell phones, or else they're just going to want your cell phone. In fact, they still want your cell phone. But he got a toy cell phone with buttons that made noise and stuff like that. And so I took the little toy cell phone, and I wanted Wesley to see just how good of a phone it was. So I put it up to my ear like I was talking to somebody. And Wesley came over and got about a foot and a half away from my face. I was sitting on the floor in a kind of a beanbag chair, and here's Wesley, his face about a foot and a half away from mine, just like this. And I am over here talking on this toy phone. And I said, yes, hello, yes. Yes, Wesley's right here. He is wonderful. You want me to tell him about that? Yes, he is great. Yeah, you are right. I agree with you about Wesley is very special. Yes, absolutely. So I'm talking like this. And Wesley's over here, and he's just kind of, you know, he's a toddler. Barry doesn't have good balance, really, but he's a toddler there. And the more I talk, he's got his arms and he's just waving. He's just doing like this. He's just waving his arms, waving and waving and waving. And the more I said, yes, he's warm, it's just getting more and more animated. He's getting more. He can't contain. You know what it's like sometimes when you're blessing a little child? It's like just pumping up a bicycle tire, like, whoo, 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 whoo. And you know, at some point, it's going to pop. You know, it just can't contain all that. So I just kept talking. Wesley, yes, he is. Oh, I will tell. Yes, I will tell him. Okay. All righty. Bye-bye. And I turned over and looked at Wesley. I said, they said, you're great. And he just went, ah! And that was it. Yeah. Children, we got to bless our kids, right? I'm not talking about, oh, it's a bad thing to praise somebody or bless somebody. No, we need that, okay? And it's very important. How silly it would be to think that we don't need it. You know what image came to mind? How ridiculous it would be to think that if you've got the home court advantage and the people are cheering, that you ought to quieten it down. Can you imagine that? You know, it's like when you go to a basketball game and you got the home court advantage, the fans are just cheering, they're just going crazy. Ah, you're awesome. You know, they're just rejoicing in their team and everything like that. And it gets loud in that place and it just gives you a big advantage, right? Can you imagine the home team coach coming up and grabbing the microphone and saying to all the fans, could you tone it down, please? I'm afraid all this cheering is going to go to my kids' heads, and I just don't want them getting prideful feelings right now. So if you could just tone it down. Besides, it's a little disrespectful to the other team, so let's just don't do all this cheering anymore. That's just ridiculous, right? You would never do that in a million years because you want it.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
What does encouragement do? Encouragement, it puts courage in. That's what encouragement means. It puts courage in. Encouragement. I think earlier in my Christian life, I thought, oh, it's more spiritual if I just kind of reject encouragement. You know, Christians are like this. We thought, in order to look humble, somebody will come and say, you know, that was really, it was wonderful the way you sang that song. And oh, well, it's just, you know, hang your head, don't look at them, and just say, well, it's just Jesus, you know. And it just sounds like you're more humble and you're more spiritual. But in fact of the matter, I'm just want to establish this up front. You need encouragement. We all need encouragement. I need courage. You need courage. We need to encourage one another, bless one another. And I wish somebody had given me this practical primer on how to receive a compliment long ago because I didn't know how to receive one. Let me tell you how to receive a compliment. Somebody comes up to you and they say, you know, that I want to give you this compliment. They give you an authentic, I'm not talking about buttering you up or puffing you up kind of stuff. I'm talking about real compliment. And here's what you do. You look them in the eye and you say, thank you. I receive that. I will be encouraged by that, and that strengthens me and encourages me on in the journey. Thank you very much. That's how you receive one. And let it become part of you. Let it be part of the makeup of who you are. So we need encouragement. And the fact of the matter is that if we don't get it, then what happens is that our lives, where we have not been from our earliest time, affirmed in the deepest way, and we have not received the blessing that we needed to receive from those that were closest to us, then it leaves us sort of whole and a deficit that is there. And honestly, until you know the affections of God, until you know His love, you've not known perfect love. And until you really can know that, there's still a part of you that would be not just receiving encouragement as something that's edifying to you, but needing the praise of people in order to feel all right about your life. And yet, in the end, that sort of emptiness is frail. The praise of others is fleeting and unreliable. I was thinking this week of Michael Phelps, who is the greatest swimmer of all time. In fact, Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian of all time, 28 medals, and 23 of them gold medals. Let that sink in. 23 times they have hung a gold medal around his neck while the whole world was cheering. He has the most gold medals in any particular Olympic competition, 8 in the 2008 Games in Beijing. After he won 5 more gold medals in the 2016 Olympics in London, it meant that he was the most successful athlete in the Olympic Games for the 4th Olympics in a row. Most all of his life, in other words, somebody's cheering for him. Somebody's praising and celebrating him. But after the 2012 Olympics, he announced his retirement, a retirement that eventually he came back from. But after he announced that retirement, and there were no more swim meets and no more medals being hung around his neck, it didn't go well for him. In fact, he began to sink down. He was arrested in 2014 for a DUI in his hometown of Baltimore. And it was a hard, hard time in his life that later he spoke about candidly in an interview with an ESPN reporter. He said, quote, that he struggled to figure out who I was outside the pool. And in his words, he said, quote, I was a train wreck. I was like a time bomb waiting to go off. I had no self-esteem, no self-worth. There were times where I didn't want to be here. It was not good. I felt lost. Wow. Most gold medals of anybody in history, and he felt he had no self-worth and utterly lost. Like many struggling with those types of feelings, he began to self-medicate. And in the aftermath of that DUI arrest, he cut himself off from family and friends. And at one point, he locked himself in his room for 4 days and 4 nights. And he said in the interview, I thought the world would just be better off without me. I figured that was the best thing to do, just end my life. Let that sink in, please. There has not been an athlete more celebrated, praised, and adored on this planet. No one ever had that many medals around his neck. Most decorated and praised Olympic athlete in history. His net worth over $50 million. Everywhere he went, people admired him. And when the medals stopped, he thought about ending his life. You can have the praise of the whole world and feel suicidal. Thankfully, for Phelps, a friend, kind of a big brother, an all-pro linebacker, Ray Lewis, came to him and challenged him and stuck with him and got him into a rehab program, and he gave him a book. It was Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life, and it changed Phelps' life. Within a few days, Phelps called Lewis, and this is what he said. Man, this book is crazy. The thing that's going on, oh my gosh, my brain, I can't thank you enough, man. You saved my life. And Phelps told ESPN reporter that Rick Warren's book turned me into believing there's a power greater than myself and there's a purpose for me on this planet. He found something to praise outside of himself. We will not have true peace, joy, or fulfillment until we discover what it is to praise beyond ourselves. We're made for that. You could run from this, and you could think that the answer to your life is to just get the praise from other people. But what I'm telling you is that you're designed to praise God. If you think about this, there's just a tremendous joy that comes in rejoicing in someone else's greatness. I mean, just in this world, it's that way.
Alan Wright and today's teaching, More Blessed to Praise Than to Be Praised. It's in our series, More Blessed. And Pastor Alan will bless us with his presence here in just a moment, sharing a parting good news thought for the day. Stick with us.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. Back in the studio, Pastor Alan sitting here, and our parting good news thought for the day, more blessed to praise than to be praised, is today's teaching.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's our issue, is that half time we get it backwards. We think, you know, well, so much of the world, the social media and all, is like,
yeah,
it's all about getting the praise of other people.
Exactly.
If we really think about it, Daniel, we are far happier extolling the wonders of God than at any other time in our life. We're designed to give praise. And if you're honest with it, listener, you think about your own life. Don't you love it when there's something awesome that you can rejoice in? Whether it's you're a sports fan and you see an incredible sports feat, or you stand at the edge of the Grand Canyon, or you just look at a simple, beautiful flower bursting forth this spring. Just a delight in it.
Yeah.
And say, wow. Well, why are we that way? It's because we are made to praise God. It's more blessed to praise than it is to receive the praise of the whole world.
We're always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Again, sharingthelight.org or call 877
L-I-G-H-T 60. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional in your inbox each morning when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.